You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the weekly William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Dave Tindall to look ahead to the BMW Masters and the OHL Classic this week. Mike Grenham having a small sabbatical. He'll be back with us next week. And he was close last week with Dustin Johnson, who looked like winning the WGC HSBC Champions event early on in the final round. I must admit, I wasn't up for the action, Mr. Tindall, but he had the bad break, a particularly bad break on the par 5/8.
He did, didn't he? It clattered the flag and led to what, a 7 was it in the end?
Yeah, made 7, made double bogey 7 when he could have been looking at birdie.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's crass to mention what might have happened after that. And Russell Knox's performance was sensational as well. For him to break his duck in a WGC event like that, in that manner. A guy that's been knocking on the door for a long time now, supreme ball striker, good to see him get the job done.
Yeah, it's slightly, do you think he had the squiggle against him slightly?
Maybe slightly.
Although he did say afterwards, didn't he, said I kind of knew when I did win it would be a big one, so there was kind of sort of an underlying confidence to him, I think. And I think it was just his week. I think even if Johnson had maybe birdied or parred, I think Knox, I think it was just his week, wasn't it?
You think so?
Yeah, I think it. That was the story.
Do you believe in things being written in the stars then, Dave?
Well, I don't want to get too wishy-washy about it, but yeah, you could argue if Johnson had been nearer, he would have seen him on the leaderboard. Although, is he a leaderboard watcher? I don't know. But he was very impressive, wasn't he? He never looked like wobbling, really. And be interesting to see what Knox can do now, whether he's going to become, you know, an elite player or up there, someone who wins a few, or whether he's more of a one-hit wonder who wins a sort of lower grade event after this.
Yeah, we got a little bit, the podcast got a little bit out of Brandon Grace and Dustin Johnson, who both tied for fifth on the week.
I think Grace was disappointing when he started
I thought he was going to win.
Yeah, I thought, you know, he's right up there. He's sort of paid his dues with those top fives in the US Open and US PGA. Loves these big events. This is his week. And no, he just sort of ran out of gas a bit, didn't he?
It was annoying that he faltered, because I woke up on that Thursday morning and saw that he'd shot the opening round 63 and thought, here we go.
Yep.
We've got one this week. And it never quite materialised for Brandon Grace. As far as the other event was concerned, Peter Malnati won the Sanderson's Farms Championship. He hauled everything he looked at last week. It was one of those weeks where he is, I think someone on Twitter, it might have been Aaron Price on Twitter, one of the lower grade professionals, that said, he's up there with the best three putters I've ever seen, Peter Malnati, which I thought was interesting on Twitter. You get those little snippets from Twitter ever so often, and that was one last week. He said, I think he's up there with the top three putters I've ever seen, which I couldn't believe.
Did he name the other two?
He didn't name the other two. I was looking frantically to see the other two names, but I don't think he named them, but he did put Peter Malnati up there.
People used to say Brad Faxon, didn't they? He's like the best putter in the world, but then, you know, never sort of won anything really, did he? I guess Spieth would be up there now if you were mentioning somebody now.
Yeah, and the way Jason Day putted towards the back end of the season.
There were debates, weren't they, on Twitter, what's most important?
There were.
And what's more important?
Yeah, putting or ball striking.
Yeah.
And I'm firmly in the ball striking camp. I think statistically it's been proven that ball striking reigns supreme.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree. Just you know, it's not just a feeling or a thought. The statistics to back it up, isn't there?
Absolutely. Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got a couple of events, Dave, to have a look at. And we'll start with the BMW Masters, which is the third and the penultimate event in the race to Dubai, and it gives Danny Willett a realistic chance of going top of the list heading to the Earth course for the DP World Tour Championship next week. And Danny Willett in the field this week, Rory McIlroy not in the field, but it's Justin Rose, the Englishman, that heads the betting here with William Hill. 5-1 Rose to win the event. Henrik Stenson is 12-1, Brandon Grace is 16s, Patrick Reed 16-1, Paul Casey 16-1, Danny Willett in there at 20s, 25-1 Bernd Wiesberger, Louis Oosthuizen, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sergio Garcia and Victor Dubuisson, and it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. Jack Nicklaus designed golf course this one, Lake Mullaren, and it only opened in 2011. The first time it hosted a top class tournament was the Shanghai Masters in 2011, and Rory McIlroy prevailed in that playoff against Anthony Kim.
Yeah, whatever happened to him.
I love mentioning Anthony Kim on this podcast, because if you could wish for one thing in golf, I think it'd be towards the top of the list for Anthony Kim to be back on the golf course, wouldn't it?
Yeah. There was that article, wasn't there, that Alan Shipnuck wrote about him when he tried to sort of find him, where is Anthony Kim? But yeah, I mean, and it's relatively recent, isn't it? It seems like he's been missing for years, but
it doesn't, because he was so young and such a swashbuckling competitor. Yeah. You'd love to see him in the game of golf, and he has been photographed in Las Vegas, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which seems to be one of his regular haunts.
Yeah.
Or was anyway.
Yeah.
And there are rumours that he's trying to make this comeback, but the injury doesn't allow it. And then, as was mentioned in that Shipnuck piece, there's all this stuff regarding the insurance, whether he triggers it,
yeah. And then he's got to balance, would I earn enough to, you know, beat the insurance? So
it's all speculation, isn't it?
But yeah, in that event, it was a massive purse, wasn't it? I think it was something like the most expensive purse in golf at the time. But it kind of put Lake Mullaren on the map. And then we've had these final series events there in the last few years.
Mm. Yeah, it's a 7,594-yard par 72, this one. Four par fives, traditional setup for a golf course like this. And as we always mention with a Nicklaus design, it's typical that you get space off the tee and it rewards accurate iron play into the greens. This course doesn't look any different to a typical Nicklaus design, really.
No, I would agree with that, yes. Definitely greens in reg looked important when I was going back through the last few winners, or the three winners that we've had there. And yeah, and I think there's definitely scope to pick someone who can just give it a bash off the tee and not get overly punished.
Yeah, mate, plenty of birdies this week. I've got a couple of picks in the event.
Yeah, just one for me.
Okay, I'll kick off then. I was surprised actually to see Alexander Levy available at 50-1.
He's interesting, isn't he, last year?
Yeah, I think he's very interesting. He had this tournament wrapped up, didn't he, or seemingly going into Sunday after opening with rounds of 65, 66 and 63. But the wind kicked up on Sunday and it clearly affected a lot of players, but it affected him particularly adversely.
It's got to be some stat, hasn't it, to shoot a final round 78 and still make a playoff.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? That can't ever have happened, surely. I think it's more testament to his play over the first 3 days that he could shoot the 78 and still manage to get in the playoff. It will be intriguing to see what his mindset is this week. I think it will play a strong part, because if he sees it as a positive going back there and he knows he can make plenty of birdies on the golf course, it will be a good thing. But it could go the other way and he could have the mental scars from that.
Well, I think he'll be checking
final round last year.
I think he'll be checking the weather forecast, and it's not too bad, is it? So when I looked at it anyway, he doesn't seem anything out of the ordinary.
I think that's key.
Yeah.
I think that's key. I looked at the same thing and I thought if it's windy or if it's predicted to be windy, maybe swerve him. But this is just the sort of setup he loves.
Yeah.
A long, soft golf course, target golf.
Because it's in Shanghai. Yeah, it's in Shanghai again, where it was last week. And obviously, they kept saying that course was soft and we got more rain there. So if it's still in Shanghai, you presume it's going to be the same conditions. Levy as well, of course, won in China earlier that year, didn't he?
He did. He's won the China Open in 2014 and stout defence this year, finishing third there.
On a different course as well, wasn't it? On a harder course for him, you would have thought.
So yeah.
He loves China, I think.
I agree. And there was enough in his performance a couple of weeks ago in Turkey to suggest that he's primed for a run at this event. Mm-hmm. You look at that finish, 18th place finish, doesn't look much on paper, but he was second in greens in regulation and putted well. I think his wayward driving won't get punished on this golf course, and he is a player that will hunt birdies from the outset here. I like the price, 50-1. I'm going a little bit bigger than I usually would in an event like this. I'll play him 2 points each way. Oh, Alexander Levy at 50-1. I'm quite confident this week with him, so I didn't expect to see 50s on the board, so I'll play him.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I'm going to go for my only pick, my headline tip, and that's Thongchai Jaidi.
Okay.
Obviously cut from different cloth to Alexander Levy, but he's a proven winner, isn't he, Thongchai Jaidi? I'm very surprised to see him at 40-1. Why is he 40-1 when you look at someone like Casey, who's 16s? Why is he that more than double?
He's always underrated, isn't he, by the
bookmakers? Totally underrated him. He's got 7 European Tour wins. 4 of those have come in Asia, where we are obviously this week. 13 Asian Tour wins. And then you just keep adding to that. He's a former runner-up at this course, 2013. 2 decent efforts either side, 16th and 28th. 13th in Hong Kong a few starts ago, 11th last week at the HSBC. It just seems an obvious proven winner, playing in Asia, in good form, and has been runner-up at the course. What's not to like?
Yeah.
I think, again, you sort of have in mind a price, don't you? I think I started reading from the top down, thinking, oh, he's going to be at 25s or something, and I kept going, and where is he?
Yeah.
And got to 40s, and thought, oh, I'm very happy with that.
Okay, 40-1, Thongchai Jaidi is Dave's headline and only selection in this event.
Yeah, I do like. I think Levy would have been next.
Would
off
he? That's good news. Yeah. My second pick is Ian Poulter at 33-1. Mentioned this on the we were on In Play Radio together last night, and mentioned this on the walk towards the train station. Everyone that follows golf knows that this is Ian Poulter's time of year, isn't it? Historically, and I think 33-1 is fair on Poulter. Maybe the course doesn't ideally play to his strengths, but it hasn't stopped him posting top finishes here in the past. We mentioned the Shanghai Masters in 2011, finished sixth on that occasion, and he's also had finishes of a fourth in 2012 and 15th in 2013. So his course form, barring last year's disappointment, is pretty strong. But like Alexander Levy, who we've mentioned previously, form in China is pretty hot. He won in Hong Kong back in 2010, won the HSBC Champions event in Shenzhen in 2012. And actually, since the beginning of 2010, he's got 2 wins and 4 places in 13 events in China, which is exceptional, really, for Ian Poulter. And even though I think he'll be slightly disappointed with his recent form, it's by no means disastrous. You look through his recent form lines, and he closed with a 67 in the HSBC Champions in China, and his play in Turkey the week before was quite strong statistically. I believe this is the moment to catch Poulter, and I think 33-1 is fair.
Yeah, he had good greens in reg stats last week, I think maybe fifth or something like that, so he is playing well. And I think with him, I think he needs to sort of keep the engine running. The more he keeps going, I think eventually he'll turn his form around. Although for me, he's not quite near enough to make that leap to playing okay to winner.
His iron play is improving, isn't it? It does get rusty, doesn't it?
It does get rusty, but I think maybe just not all parts are clicking well enough for me to get involved.
Okay, 33-1 Ian Poulter is my second pick. Mentions then, we'll start with the top of the betting. Justin Rose is 5-1.
I think he's a good favourite this week. I mean, if you look through his recent record, it's just full of top 6 finishes, isn't it? It's just almost every week. And then he won in Hong Kong, to put a bit of gloss and an exclamation mark on a good season. And yeah, I could see him winning the race to Dubai, actually. He's near enough, isn't he? I think he could actually go top. I think there's maybe 4 or 5 in the field this week who, if A happens and B happens, they could, you know, pass McIlroy. I think Willett's got to just finish tied 28th or something or better.
Yeah.
But Rose, I can see him having a big, big week. He's come 4th and 6th in his only 2 previous visits here. Clearly likes the course. You know, iron play. He's hitting it a mile. Rory said he was hitting it past him as well.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So
I was watching that event, which he won, and his driving was sublime, and he is hitting the ball a country mile at the moment.
You just thought he was a sort of longish hitter, but now he's up there with a sort of massive hitters, isn't he? So you add that to the other bits of his game, his iron play. The only thing with him, isn't it, he can miss putts that others wouldn't miss. A Spieth in the day wouldn't really miss.
Yeah.
And he can get going the wrong way with his putter. But I think if he puts half decent, I think he's got every chance of winning.
He's 5-1, I agree. Henrik Stenson is 12-1 in the betting. Brandon Grace, Patrick Reed, both 16s. I was looking at Matthew Fitzpatrick. I know it looks slightly short at 25-1, but he is looking fantastic, isn't he? He's a similar sort of mould to Poulter in terms of the way his game works, but he looks like a much better player, in all honesty.
I'm just sort of waiting for him to run out of gas.
Yes.
He's played so many, about 31, or this is 32nd or 31st event. You think at some point he'll just say, I'm running on fumes here, and it'll... But last week, players in that situation normally might throw in a good round and then, you know, have a bad day, but he shot four rounds in the 60s last week, and there was only two other players who did that, so... He's keeping going, isn't he? I guess he's young, but it's more just the mental pressure, but he's obviously got a very good head on young shoulders, hasn't he?
It sounded like I was being disparaging towards Ian Poulter then when I compared the two, but Matthew Fitzpatrick looks to have a hell of a lot of scope, doesn't he?
Yeah.
At the moment, and I've gone with Poulter this week, obviously at 33-1, and it sounds like I'm sort of going back on myself there, but I like Poulter for this week, but Matthew Fitzpatrick in the long run does look like he's going to be a top-class talent around at the top of the game for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Any others you want to mention?
Well, yeah, because we kind of disagreed on this one, didn't we? I got on early at a three-figure price, which I think was good, and I was quite excited by it. On Hao Tong Lee. Are you poo-pooed, didn't you?
No, I obviously I wouldn't want to be involved at 50-1, and I know you wouldn't want to be involved at 50-1, but I think 100-1 was kind of the right price. I know he played well last week. I just wonder if a youngster can come back and back that up quickly in front of his home fans, given that he's not got... I know he lives there, and he's from there, and everyone's talking about.
And I know it's his favourite course. Yeah, and I know he's already backed.
Well, apparently
it up
his favourite course, but the stats and the form don't show that, do they?
Well, as I said yesterday, he's played this event three times.
Yeah.
All as a teenager, so you've got to cut him a bit of slack.
No, absolutely.
When you say you might see him struggle to do it back to back, well, he's already done it back to back in China this year.
Yeah.
I think he was second and sixth or something in the two back-to-back Chinese events, the Shenzhen and the China Open earlier in the year. So on the three, if you class Hong Kong as being not the Chinese mainland, I know you're getting to debate, but I think it's just off, isn't it? But you still need a passport, I think, to travel between the two.
It's just a city. It's classed as just a city in China, isn't it, really?
But if you forget that one and move on to the Chinese mainland, in the three European tour events on the Chinese mainland, Hao Tong Lee has finished second, sixth and seventh.
Yes.
Why? So you can't be 100-1 shot if you're doing that. And then he's playing at Lake Mallor. And there was an article on him last week, and he said, I wish all events were in Shanghai. So he clearly loves that place. He's at home, literally, isn't he, at that place. Knows all about all the courses there. And he's grown in strength on the... Again, we didn't argue, but we
debated
his form on the web.com. He's playing on the web.com. You said his form's on the web.com's rubbish, but it's not that bad. He's had a few top 20s.
It's all right, isn't
it? He's a young lad,
I think what we've seen recently is the web.com tour for players performing at the top level on the web.com tour. There's not as big a gap as people may imagine from the web.com to the PGA.
Yeah, but then to finish like he has, maybe 16th on that web.com tour, that's surely quite good then, if you're saying...
It's okay. I'm saying he was 500-1 last week and he's 50-1 this week. I think that performance is more than factored into the price. Yeah, perhaps so. My question here to you is, Hao Tong Lee is 50-1 in this field. I know we were talking about 100-1 earlier, but it's 50-1 in this field right now.
Yeah.
Danny Lee is 66-1 in this field.
Yeah, well, that's wrong, isn't it?
Well, it's blatantly wrong, because Danny Lee is a far superior player to Hao Tong Lee at this point in their careers right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other players around about 50-1 that are far superior to where Hao Tong Lee is, or the level that Hao Tong Lee has got to right now.
Yeah, just to be clear, I'm not... I don't like 50
no,
to 1.
No, you're not endorsing
but
the 100
price to 1
right now.
I was very happy to get. And I think he'll run a... I think there's a definite scenario where he runs a big race this week.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can see it.
A name to look out for anyway.
Oh, without a doubt, because his performances early on the European Tour, the ones that you were mentioning,
yeah,
were fantastic, weren't they? And he looked like a player definitely
to like
follow early on in the season.
You know, China's big hope, isn't he, I think?
No, I agree. Justin Rose, 5-1 favourite in that field. Shall we move on?
Yes.
And let's get stuck into the OHL Classic on the PGA Tour this week. And Matt Kuchar is the 10-1 favourite for the event. Brendan Steele, Jason Bone, Patton Kizzire, Russell Knox, all 20-1. Harris English and Patrick Rogers, both 25s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Undoubtedly one of the weaker events on the PGA Tour schedule, Dave. However, as has been noted in Rob Bolton's power rankings on the PGA Tour, the field has strengthened year on year since its inception back in 2007. And a quick glance at those leaderboards throughout the years tells you all you need to know really about this event. El Chameleon is the host course, a par 71 measuring under 7,000 yards. And scoring has been what you'd expect, really. Harris English won this with a total of 21 under par in 2013. But in every other year, the winning total has landed between 13 under and 17 under. And because length is a non-factor around this golf course, we've had leaderboards populated, littered with ball strikers and experienced old heads as well.
Yeah, early runnings of it. You got like Funk and Brian Gay, and Americans have won it actually all eight editions of it, and not sort of elite Americans, just sort of goodish Americans. English probably the best scope to be gone and have the best career out of all of them. But I mean, to be honest, these events on early events have been a bit of a nightmare, haven't they, for punters?
I
mean,
I think so.
Was anyone on Malnati last week?
Not me.
Smiley Kaufman? Was anyone, you know?
Yeah.
The only one that you could argue is Griot. But even that would have taken a leap of faith.
Yeah, we mentioned that on the podcast a few times.
I think maybe Euro bettors have seen him wobble too many times to have got too excited about that. But yeah, these are difficult events to pick.
No, I agree. I've just got the one pick here. What are you looking for this week, Dave? Are you just looking for ball striking, tee to green play, or a hot putter?
Steady eddies, who at a decent price, to be honest, who probably aren't as fashionable as some of the young kids. I mean, you look at some of the youngsters there, Patton Kizzire, 20-1. Yeah, he's had three top fives, but I don't know. Can't just keep doing that, can he? He's obviously going to be some player.
Yeah.
Patrick Rogers... I mean, I looked at a preview from last year that someone had written, and Patrick Rogers was 225-1.
Was he?
Yeah. So 200 points less
and
this week.
And this doesn't look the ideal golf course for him either, does it really?
No. I think he sprays it around too much. There's some shorties up there, aren't there, of the fashionable players. But I am going to pick a player who came through the web.com tour kind of playoff series.
Okay. You go first then.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Tim Wilkinson. Obviously... One of the least fashionable golfers to come out of that,
if not the least fashionable golfer in the world of golf.
Yes, he's just kind of, you know, Tim Wilkinson, whatever. He's just sort of a left-hander, doesn't do much. A Kiwi, he just kind of doesn't really register, does he? But on this course, he deserves.
There's no
a bit...
friends and family of Tim Wilkinson just tuned in.
Well, that's the perception. I'm a huge fan, and I will be after this week as well, hopefully. Just looking at his record in this event, he was 10th in 2013, threw in a second round 63. Last year, 29th after three rounds in the 60s, 67 in round two. Got a couple of other decent finishes in the past there, 28th and 38th. So I think this is definitely his course where it's more brain than brawn.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
His steadiness. Had his first go on the PGA Tour. He got his card after doing enough in the... web.com playoffs. He was in the final two events. He was ninth at the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship, then 24th in the web.com Tour Championship, and he had to play well just to get into those playoffs, so he's on a little bit of a roll. Also, he's got some interesting form back in Mexico on the web.com. He was fifth in the Mexico Championship, a web.com event, 12th in the Mexico Open, another web.com event. So he seems to go to Mexico. I really like it. He's a Florida resident, so it's obviously just, you know, beneath the border,
yep,
type of thing. And I just think there's quite a lot of little roads that take you towards a decent performance from Tim Wilkinson this week. Obviously, if he was 66s, I'd go, nah, but he's 150-1. Yeah. So I think in what's pretty a wide open contest, I think I'd rather play someone, steady Eddie with a bit of momentum and a bit of pass form at a big price. So he's going to be my sole pick. Just half a point each way at 150s.
Yeah, I've just got the one pick here as well. It's not an event. I do like the BMW Masters this week, but yeah, I don't like this event, the OHL Classic, very much at all, really. But I'm going 100 points shorter than you, Dave. I'm going with David Hearn at 50-1 as my sole bet.
Sort of similar in profiled in some ways to Tim Wilkinson.
Well, I think he's a steady Eddie. Yeah. Obviously, David Hearn's 100 points shorter, so yeah, he's got... yeah, better form, yeah, and he is a better player, but he well, we've had five non-winners that, yeah, have won, and hopefully David Hearn can make it six. I'm not saying that trend is likely to continue this week, but it could. And he was knocking at the door throughout last season, really, Hearn, a host of decent finishers. This golf course looks like an ideal fit for him as well. He's not the longest from the tee, but his accuracy improved a lot last season, and he can get very hot with the putter as well, so he looks like an ideal fit. Last couple of starts have been moderate, not spectacular, but not bad. A 25th place in the Shriners was followed by a 29th in the CIMB Classic. I do like the fact that in both events, though, he posted one low round in each. You'll have to go pretty low this week. Opened with a 64 in the Shriners, had a second round of 65 in the CIMB, and I think that augurs well. And his record in this event is decent also. He finished 35th here in 2011, 49th in 2012, and returned from a break last year to finish 16th. Progressive course form, a player that looks ready to win in a low grade, in my opinion, and a course that I think is a nice fit. So 50-1 I thought was fine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll play him a point each way, David Hearn at 50s.
Yeah, I think you're probably best cut. You actually... have reason to think he could win. I'm thinking I'm just trying to nick a place maybe with Tim Wilkinson.
Which is fine at 150-1, isn't it? You're absolutely always looking for that, yeah, top five finish.
Yeah.
Honourable mentions then, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, Brendan Steele's been in fantastic form, hasn't he? He's been a 54-hole leader of two events this year, the CIMB, or SIMB, as I like to call it, and the fries.com. So he's playing some great golf. Statistically, he's right up there, all parts of his game. I think his last four events, he's been in the top four three times on the all-around, so he's doing everything well, talking a good game as well. 20-1, yeah.
It's the sort of price you would expect,
isn't it? It's taking
it
into account.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as Kuchar's price, though.
No.
Yeah, that's just the easiest sort of isn't it?
That's the one good event. Good thing about this event, I think. I think you've got a favourite there that you can
take on.
In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, Jason Bone obviously has been in great form, but
got good course form as well.
Yeah, but I mean, last week he was 8-1 or something daft, wasn't he? And he didn't get. Shows you the folly of taking short prices.
Yeah, I do like the fact that everyone was talking about him last week, or not everyone was talking about him, but it was chalked up a short price last week and slightly underperformed. And then it wouldn't be a surprise to me if he goes better this week than he did.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wouldn't take much for him to go better this week than he did last, but. It wouldn't be a surprise to me if he popped up towards the top of the betting.
On a similar vein, Brett Steigmeier, I think you say it, he was shorter last week. He was 50s last week. He's 66 this week, and he didn't do an awful lot wrong last week. He was 15th, and he was coming off a second place. So he's another one of the young guns who might throw in something good. Brian Harman, I like. 66.
I've got him noted down. Yeah, I think I put him up in the fries, and I think he missed the cut when I put him up in the fries. But this is he's not got good course form here, has he? But it looks like it's tailor made for him.
Yeah, I just think he missed his last two cuts. He had a decent knock on debut, I think 26, but he was 7th in the SIMB and had some good stats there. So he's an interesting one. He's very much your steady Eddie type, isn't he? Who plays well on the shorter courses.
Spencer Levine in that mould. He's 66-1. I looked at him. Oh, sorry, 50-1. I maybe would have looked at him at 66-1, but he's down at 50-1. And he is your steady Eddie golfer with it doesn't match his personality at all, does it? Because he can get het up on the golf course. But as far as his game is concerned, it's just that Sunday. Will he perform on a Sunday? That's the question with Spencer Levine. But I was interested in him at 50-1, I must admit. And if you're looking at pure class in this field, back class, Jason Duffner is 50-1 here. He, since he lost all the weight, hasn't really performed, has he? But there have been glimmers from Jason Duffner, and 50-1 could look foolish in this field.
I thought Alex Chaker was all right at 50s as well. He was runner up in the Shriners, 17th in the Simb, and then at this course he's got a couple of top 20s in his last three appearances, so he's won. And he won, didn't he, finally last year? So he's somebody who could go well.
Yeah. Let's wrap then. Firstly, the player you don't want to win this week was the who came closest to making the cut. I'm not sure I've got one this week.
I'd probably have to. I don't know. Maybe Levy, you've got him. So
yeah.
I was fairly sort of, you know, direct with my thoughts this week. There's no one I'm going to have huge regrets about, I don't think, this week.
Brian Harman may be the only one in the OHL Classic that came close for me. Let's spin you through the picks then this week.
Unless you count Rose.
Yeah, Justin Rose at 5-1.
But it's 5-1, isn't it? You can miss them.
Firstly, picks in the BMW Masters. I've got a couple. I'm going to play Alexander Levy, 2 points each way at 50-1. Ian Poulter, a point each way at 33s.
Yeah, I'm not going as aggressively, but I'm going to go fairly aggressive. I'm going to go 1.5 points each way, Thong Chai Jaidi in the BMW, and just half a point each way, Tim Wilkinson in Mexico.
Yeah, that's 150-1 and 40-1 respectively. And I'm playing just one pick in the OHL Classic, David Hearn, a point each way at 50-1. That just about does us, Dave.
Very good.
Thank you for listening, folks. At D Kellner, at Dave Tyndall Golf, and at M Grenham, if you want to follow us on Twitter. And myself, Dave, and Mike are back next week. We'll all be here, hopefully, for the season-ending World Tour Championship. And hopefully, Willett and Rose go well this week, and we've got a bit of excitement going into that final event as well.
It'd be good if Rory's got to really pull something out of the bag to win it.
We'll see where his game's at, won't we, next week, and whether or not he can be fully concentrated for four rounds and put well.
Yeah,
I think that's crucial. Obviously, it's crucial. But for McIlroy at the moment, he has been decidedly dodgy on the greens.
My feeling is the narrative this year is it's not his year, and he won't win it.
Okay. And then you expect him to bounce back in a big way next season, don't you?
Yeah.
Two majors?
I'll be looking at the price, but he could. Obviously, maybe he's got more up against him nowadays.
Yeah,
and it obviously depends whether the courses will suit. Obviously, he had a big chance this year, didn't he? I think with St Andrews, one of them. So it was such a gutter.
Well, they all looked set for him this year, didn't they? Really?
Yeah.
Those big bombers' paradises that these golf courses were played, these major championships were played on.
Yeah, so I'll be looking at all the various Rory prices for next year, I think, with a close eye.
Good stuff. Thank you, folks, for listening. Remember, you can download this podcast via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill, and we'll be back for more golfing action next week. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Remember, the BMW Masters does start in the early hours of Thursday morning, so get your bets on there. You've got a bit longer, midday on Thursday for the OHL Classic, and myself, Dave, and Mike will be all back, hopefully, in situ next week for the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.